Yes.
Because I'm going to preach so hard it's going to be on fire. They're going to need some water to put themselves out.
All right.
Y'all think I'm joking?
Would anybody like water before we go?
But, hey, let's thank them for reminding us. And Debbie, you're the reason we're going to be out late because there's going to be an impromptu sermon right here before I do the other sermon. You know, there are a lot of people here that think I can't do anything. I don't do anything that means anything for the kingdom. Yet if you just notice what just happened on Ray Bolts' video, and you ought to see him do it live. Everybody can do something. No, you may not be able to give $500, but you can give $50 or you can give $5 or whatever you can give, and it makes a difference. I think, as I look at that, I think when I got drugged to church as a 10, 11, 12-year-old, it was a Baptist church, but that's no offense, okay? Got drugged to this Baptist church, had to go, and there was this guy in there, and I'm not joking, he looked like Abe Lincoln to me. His name was Bullock in Hank City. Had a beard and all like Lincoln, and he was really kind of gruff, but he wasn't. But I still remember some of the things that he taught with those lessons and stuff. Even though I walked away and said, I don't want nothing to do with this place or anything else, those things were still there. Penny was sitting here and she leaned over to me, said, you know, that reminds me of Miss Ethel. Miss Ethel was a Sunday school teacher for at least 30 years. She taught fourth, sixth grade, somewhere in there. And she taught Penny's kids, and all of a sudden when Penny and I got married, Ethel comes up and says, I need some help, Penny. So Penny got to go in and start helping Ms. Ethel. And then Ms. Ethel said, Penny, I'm just going to sit here. You're going to teach the class. And then next thing you know, Penny's teaching the class. And then because of that, Penny started something called KFC, which was middle school, and it went for about 3 years while we were at Pine Level. And she'd get off of work one day a week, go pick up these 10 to 15 KFCers, and they would have their own little Wednesday night program and stuff and do things. Nobody ever thought about Miss Ethel, but she was the start of all of it. Same way with me preaching. Some guy just said, you're going to get up there and preach one day, and didn't give me a choice. You never know what you could do. You never know the untalent that's going to be unleashed in somebody that you encourage. So I don't need to hear it. I can't do anymore. We just need to start doing. Okay? All right. So much for that. If you have a prayer request, fill your cards out. But before we have prayers, we have to have praises, remember? So I need to see some hands for praising. Kathy, I see you. I just got to find what Debbie did with the microphone. Could you jump a little higher?
Okay, this song that we just sung, Leanne and I had done it for a memorial service for a guy at our church in Michigan that we got married at. But it also reminds me that last night, 12 members of this church went to the Heart of Florida Emmaus Gathering and talk about being moved beyond words. Yes, we had lots of food, but that was before we went in. The young lady that was, her testimony was being accountable, and she led a very lonely, hard life before she went on her walk and made friends with the people of Emmaus. And the 12 people that were there from this church, we were the largest group that was there, most of them served somewhere in this church on the board, but some of them also served on the Emmaus walk. And it was the first one that Leon had gotten to attend in almost 9 years. So be accountable your words, your actions, your money, they count. They count a lot to what you say to people.
Thank you, Kathy. Oh, I thought you was holding your hand up for yourself. Oh. Cindy Webb.
Thank you.
Hey, give me a brownie point. I got the name.
Tuesday was the luncheon for the Polk School Board's homeless graduating seniors. And one of the girls at my table is going into the Army. Several are going on to college, and the state will help them with that. And I noticed one boy, when he got off the bus, he was dressed nicer than all the others. He had on a pair of dress pants, long sleeve shirt, a vest, a tie, and he's going on to seminary, so a church is helping him go. So they were so excited. They had a wonderful speaker, and he grew up in the worst part of New York, so the kids heard his story and where he has come. Just a couple of months ago, he finally got his doctorate, so he was very good for the kids. Okay. And I just wanted to thank everybody for helping with the food bags. They were so excited with everything that they got in their duffel bag and the food, and just having that time together, that they had a special time.
Thank you, Cindy.
I feel like I have to face the entire congregation to say what I want to say. This has been weighing on me for the past couple of weeks. When I came back to church a few weeks ago after a long absence because of my heart problems, I delivered this praise to the 8 o'clock group only. I didn't stay around for the 10:30, so it's not like I'm giving you the short shift, okay? I just feel like I need to make it up to you. And here is what I said then. I praise God for sparing my life. I praise this church, his church here at Lake Gibson. I praise our pastor, spiritual leader, and our spiritual guide, Steve. And I praise all of you, this entire congregation. I cannot believe that all of you took time out of your own lives to pray for me, for my well-being, that the surgery would go okay. For me, it's a truly humbling experience because I didn't grow up in this kind of setting or atmosphere. So it's been another, besides my walk to Emmaus, this has been another life-changing event. And I want to thank all of you.
Ms. Shirley.
Good morning. I just wanted to tell you all that I was able to talk with Lou Webb. Some of you remember her, and she's no longer in Virginia. She's in Dexter, Michigan with her daughter, Kathy, and she's getting along very well, and she loves it there. Her brother and some of her other relatives are there in Michigan, so she feels right at home. And she wanted me to tell you all, thank you for your prayers and your thoughts. And if anyone would like her address, I'd be glad to give it to you. So she was very glad to hear from all of us. Thank you.
Thank you. Be sure the office gets that updated address if we don't have it. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I need to apologize to everybody for not thanking you for all the prayers for Don, and thank you for all your prayers. He's doing phenomenally. He's going to be able to drive in a couple of weeks, so.
Is that good or bad?
Pray for me, because he hasn't driven a stick shift in 6 weeks. So he's going to be driving
again.
Wait
a minute. I haven't driven a stick shift in probably 20 years, but there's nothing to forget.
Well, I've been driving the stick shift, so thank you for your prayers
the problem.
For me.
Okay.
And they told him he can fly at any time now, so we're going to be going up north to pick up our other car,
which
is an automatic.
Did they give him wings in this surgery or something?
No.
Oh, you mean he can get on an
airplane
not
and
okay,
fly.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So, no, he doesn't have wings.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe he was an angel already.
No, not yet. Thank the Lord. But yeah, so in another month or two, we'll be going up north to get our automatic, so we won't have to be stick shifting it anymore.
How lazy we get. You remember the days we didn't want an automatic, we wanted a stick shift so we could burn rubber?
Before Easter, or right after Easter, I lost my aunt. She was like a sister to me, but she was also a gift to me. God gave her in my life. She was one of the most inspirational persons I've ever known. I went to her funeral this week. I'm telling you, that place was full. Every one of them has so much experience with her giving and loving. She was one of the first ones that took my hand to go to Sunday school when I wasn't with my parents in church. If anybody come to visit with her, if you spent the night, Sunday morning, you're going to be in church with her. Didn't happen otherwise. And neither did all of her kids. You didn't even think about it, staying home. But I know where she's at. And I praise God, thank God, for Miss Thelma Singletary Medic Tolman Howell, because she buried three husbands but loved every one of them. And I just want to thank God for her. Also want to thank God for all the prayers from my brother. They did the biopsy on him this past week also, and he has been transported now into a foster care. He's happy there. So I don't have to worry about every day. Is he on the floor? Is he dead? He's with somebody, and he loves it there. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. Amen. Joanne, we may be here at 2 o'clock today now.
It's great. Praising the Lord. I just want you to know, my nephew, Marty Marchek, which the 1030 service doesn't know, he has his Guillain-Barré a syndrome that's horrible. Frankie Hooks has a granddaughter with the same thing. But Marty now can dust the house, vacuum. He can do dishes.
Good.
He mowed part of the lawn, and he has put the walker in the closet and is walking now with two sticks. That's what prayer does.
Amen. Thank you for that. And Frankie's granddaughter is back home and fairly normal, right, Frankie? All right. Any other praises? Brenda.
Well, it's a little old news, but thankfully, my daughter, one of my twins, Katrina, and her husband, Brian, had a 6-pound, 12-ounce baby girl, Isabella Lynn. And April 14th, she thought maybe it would come on her birthday on the 13th, but next day.
So, Grandma? Okay, Grandma. Oh, amen. Any other praises? Prayer concerns? Hey, we can all praise God there was no lives lost in that plane accident in Jacksonville. You know, another miracle on the Hudson, sort of, but not exactly the same. We're asked to pray for the Fuqua's, for Traveling Mercies, as they're going around the globe to Mobile, Franklin, Tennessee, and to Funiac Springs. I don't know what order that's in, but anyhow. This happens to be Lupus Awareness Month. We're asked to pray for those with lupus throughout the month, and those within our communities that we may know that have lupus. Grace Foster is asking us to pray for a granddaughter who's going in for a test. Barbara Snyder, a longtime friend in Alabama, is in ICU with fluid on her lungs and sodium and potassium depleted. Sandy Stanfield asks us to pray for her. Jack Patterson from our own congregation and from Carpenter's Home has been put back in the hospital. And, of course, pray for Shirley, too. Did I see Shirley here this morning? So, pray for him. And Shirley, this says he's been put in hospice. Okay. Pray for Shirley and Jack. Nate Beebe, 40 years old. Chemo is to begin shortly since his colon surgery. He's a nephew of Joanne Beebe. Dan McClasklin, this is Michelle's husband, who has an infection in his foot, and they They done surgery on it Friday to remove some of the infection and some of the bones, and we want to pray for him. Our secretary Marina, who's at home, Lakeland Regional did a liver biopsy Friday, but we're not sure about any outcomes yet, so we want to continue to pray for her. I know there are others, so let's go to God in prayer at this time. Father, as we come before your throne of grace this morning, let us just stop and thank you. Thank you, as Ray Bolts reminded us, of those unsung heroes that do so much for your kingdom, for your people. Those people that work behind the scenes, that they're never noticed, they're not out front, but they're generous with their giving, not only of their talents, but their resources and their words and their actions. Thank you that your kingdom doesn't depend on one person other than Jesus Christ. That your kingdom is made up of a lot of little people. And that together, all of us little people can see things happen like you showed us in that video. As a child gives his heart to Christ. As a mother is encouraged to become a Sunday school teacher. As someone who may be homeless is encouraged to go to college, get a job. All those little things that we overlook. Thank you for them. As we come, may you help us to put into action that verse that says that we are to spur one another on to greater good works than what we've done. May we encourage each other to give to you and give to your kingdom and to be the people you have called us to be in such a way that people look at us and they know there's something a little different. And I kind of like it. And when they ask us, may we be able to open their heart, if you will, to tell them our story about Jesus. As we come, we know there are many things going on. We thank you for the things where you have been involved in the events of this world, such as this airplane crash. We thank you for those people that you have kept safe from automobile accidents and other things. We thank you for those that you have just put a hedge around, and the healing that has flowed through you through medications, through surgeries, through other gifts that you have given us. We thank you for those you've just divinely touched. As we come now, we pray for others that are asking for that even now. For these that have been listed here today on these cards, and you know each and every one of them. You formed them in their mother's womb. You knew about them and what they were going through even before this card was written. So be with them. Watch over them. Touch them. Give them a good day. Allow doctors and medications to work. Allow family members and others to have some hope. And just cherish the time we have with them and with you. As we come, we know there are other things going on in our lives and in our world. There are relationships that are breaking. There are people who are struggling to make payments, to find a job, struggling with disease. We just lift them all before you. We pray for our world. We pray for the divisions that seem to be within it, not only between our Republicans and Democrats and between our Congress and our president, but between people in the church even. And we just pray. And God, I don't pray that you would be on any side. I pray that you would help both sides, that you would build in their life, allow them to stand on your word and know what your word is and follow you. Wherever that may be, that we would be following you. As we come now, we just lift our voices together. As I ask you to have your way in this service now. Prepare our hearts to receive your word, and as we receive it, may we go forth to act upon it, bringing more glory to you and giving you the honor. We ask it in your holy name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for playing there, Ms. Linda. Let me wet my whistle. You wanted to preach this morning, right? Debbie didn't leave any, did she? Okay, this morning we're going to look at Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. This is an event that happened on that first Easter morning, or not morning, actually afternoon. And you've heard it, and some of it's been referred to today. It's called the walk to Emmaus, or when Jesus interacted with two people who were walking to Emmaus. I'm going to talk through this a little bit before we come to communion and tie it into communion. We're going to start at verse 13. I'm going to ask you to stand for the first reading of God's word here as we read through a couple of these verses. Then I'll let you sit down. Luke 24, starting in verse 13. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So Jesus has risen from the grave. And if you remember, he showed himself to Mary, and she clung to his feet, and he said, Mary, you can't cling to me yet. I got to go to my Father. Remember all that? And Mary goes and tells the disciples, but here's a question. Why did he show himself to Mary? Because Mary can't be a witness, because I'm sorry, ladies. Ladies were not authorized to be witnesses in court at that time. So he showed himself to Emmaus, and now it looks like he's walking with these two, but they don't recognize him. Before we get there, let me ask a question. Let's see who can pick on him. Hey, Larry. If you was writing this story and Jesus got up out of the grave, who's the first person he's going to go see? I'll take over. Never mind. Me. Who would you pick? That's right. I'm thinking the first people I go to is Pontius Pilate or the priest and say, hey, look here, guys. You thought you were going to destroy me. That's 3 days. And guess what? I'm up. You want to know what truth is, Pilate? Come here, let me tell you. Come on. Or maybe I'd go to the disciples, the 12, because they're going to have to carry on. Maybe I'd go to them first. But he's appeared to Mary, and now these two that we don't even know who they are. And they don't recognize him when he shows up. Why don't they recognize him? And some of you are going to tell me it's divine, and I'm going to tell you, no, you better look closer. They don't recognize him because they're caught up in what they're talking about. They're tied up in their daily lives. They're going about their daily activities for one thing. That's number one. Number two, they don't expect Jesus to be walking on that road with them. And number three, certainly Jesus wouldn't appear to them because they don't even know their names. Think about it. They're just like you and I. They're just people. And we don't think Jesus will show up to talk to us either, but he does. Every one of us. Is Luke writing this, and did Jesus orchestrate this way to show us that you don't have to be somebody well known? You don't have to be in a position of authority for God to meet with you. You just have to be looking for him. They're talking to him there. Is Jesus showing us that what he prayed in John 17 actually what he meant? You remember what he prayed in John 17? It went like this. When he was praying, he prayed to his Father. He said, I ask not only on behalf of these, being those 12, but on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. That's me and you. That they all may be one. And as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them so they may be one as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may become completely one, so the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory which you've given me because you love me before the foundation of the world. He just put that into practice as he appeared to these two people on the Emmaus walk. By the way, their names are Cleopas and Simon. And I'll show you that in a couple of minutes. He's actually carried this prayer and it's become real as he walks with these two men. We're seeing that Jesus will show himself to whosoever will seek him. That you don't have to be the preacher to see Jesus. Verse 17 says, and he said to them, what are you discussing with each other while you walk along? And notice it says, they stood still looking sad. They stopped what they were doing. It's just so bad. Their hopes are dashed. Their dreams are gone. They're crushed. They don't know what to do. Their hope is for me, you and I, to be 6 foot under. For them, it's behind a stone that's rolled in the tomb. Their leader was killed. They don't know what to do. They're kind of like you and I when we're let down by people, when we're disillusioned because of what the politicians do or the way the election turned out or what happened by the betrayal of a coworker or getting the pink slip for the company we've worked for 25 years. Or maybe like we are when we stand at the side of a grave and all we can say is, why God, why God, why God? But how many times is God standing right there with us the way he is with these two and we don't recognize him? Verse 18, then one of them whose name was Cleopas, see we got one name, one of them whose name was Cleopas answered him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place these days? Or put in today's world, don't you get it, man? Haven't you looked at the paper? Didn't you turn the internet on? Haven't you seen MSN, CNN? Didn't somebody give you a Facebook post or Twitter? Haven't you seen Instagram or something? I mean, come on. Haven't you heard what's going on in the square? Everybody's talking about it. You don't know? What are you? You got your head stuck in the sand, man? Jesus, verse 19, he asked him, what things? I'm sure they probably looked at him like, you are absolutely an idiot. But they said the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. They just acknowledged that they thought Jesus was somebody special. And about how our chief priests and elders, notice how they put that, our chief priests and elders handed him over, condemned him to death to be crucified. They feel betrayed by their chief priests and elders too. Gee, I wonder if that sounds like the church today. But we had hoped, see, there it is, they had hoped. We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. They wanted to see Israel become its own nation through him. Going on, they say, and yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Reality set in. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and they told us that they had indeed seen a vision. Notice how they put that. They didn't say that Mary and the others saw an angel. Seeing a vision, you know how women are. They see things all the time. I mean, you know, you can't. That's basically what they're saying here if you really look at it. You know, they went out there and they had this dream and vision of angels who said that Jesus was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Now remember the story. John and Peter run to the tomb when Mary comes back and tells them. And they get there and they go in and they see the empty grave cloth, but there's nothing there. There's no angels to be seen and there's no Jesus to be seen by them. So notice what happened. The women just saw a vision. We may still do that today. I don't know. If people see things we don't think they should see. And then I can imagine them thinking, not only are our dreams crushed now, we've got to deal with this ridiculous story that we stole the body and that the tomb's empty. Now Jesus is about to speak to them. He said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared." Now, at that point, if I'm there, I'm not sure if I'm going to slug him. Think about it. He's basically saying, "You guys don't know what the heck you're talking about, do you?" Or if I'm going to stand there and look at him like, "Really? You're the one that didn't know what happened and you're trying to tell me I'm slow?" Says, "Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things, then enter into glory?" Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself and all the scriptures. He has to explain it to him. Here's what I want you to see here. These guys did not have their theology correct. These guys flunked Bible 101. They didn't have any knowledge. Jesus had to teach them. But who did he appear to? Them. You don't have to have a seminary degree to appear for Jesus to appear to you. You don't have to know everything that's in that scripture. Like for you to, but you don't have to know everything for Jesus to interact with you. He just wants you to be willing to talk with him. It's not what you know, it's who you know, and that who better be Jesus Christ, because anybody beside him don't count. Okay? It's about desiring to know God deeper and wanting to learn from him and being willing to accept him as he may come to you, which may not be as you think. It's about the relationship you have with God, not the pedigree you have, other than the fact that with your pedigree, you are a child of the King. Verse 28 says, "As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead of them as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us. It's almost evening. The day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them." These two are welcoming, aren't they? It says they urged him strongly. They begged him, if you will. They changed his mind. They pleaded with him, "Don't go further. Let us feed you and give you lodging for the night. Let us help you." They're planning to put him up. He's the one in need, and they're going to do what they can for him. Remember Jesus' words? "If you do it for the least of these, you've done it for me." But they have no idea that Jesus is standing there. They didn't recognize him, remember? They're doing it for one who's in need, not for Jesus. Hebrews 13:2, we read this. "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." If you go back in the Old Testament, you can see where three angels appeared to Abraham, and he talked with him. We see this now, and there are other cases mentioned in Hebrews where angels have appeared to women. But let's do a play thing for a minute. You got a love and action ticket when you came in the door today. Let's pretend that love and action ticket, Jim, you were drawn, so you might be careful here. This love and action ticket, if you're drawn today, it means you're going to get a special visit from Jesus. And you got drawn today. And Jesus is going to come to your house, and I'm allowed to tell you, Jesus is going to be there between 4 and 5, but I don't know when, but he's going to be there between 4 and 5, and he's got your address. He's going to show up at your house. What are you going to do? You're probably rushing out of here right now to put stuff under, and what kind of meal am I going to... Ellen's already... He likes fried chicken. No, go to Plumbage, please. Yeah, you're going to go home and get ready, right? Get everything ready. Oh, Jesus is coming to see me. Hot dog, hot dog, hot dog. About 4:05, you're, you know, peeking out the curtains. Maybe you even opened the curtains and sitting there so you can see them. And somebody starts walking up your driveway at 4:05, but you can already tell it's not Jesus. His clothes are dirty. He's got rips in his jeans. It looks like his shirt needs a bath from 3 weeks ago. Hair's not cut. Got tattoos. Kind of walking up and you're thinking, oh gosh, Jesus is coming. I got to get rid of this guy. So you go outside and say, what do you want? Who are you? What do you want? I'm hungry. Here's $5. Get out of here. I got an important desk coming. Or maybe you go in and you make him a peanut butter sandwich and hand it to him and say, I got an important desk coming. Go, 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 go. So he takes what you gave him, or maybe you didn't give him anything. Maybe you just run him off. He starts walking back and his You do, you notice a tear runs down and you hear him saying something. And he says something like this. If you had only known. If you had only known. And then suddenly you hear this music and a big white limo pulls up. And something in white with angel wings drops out, rolls out and opens the door and falls on his knee and does this to this bum. But the bum's not standing there. It's some guy in nothing but white clothing, raiment with a key, with a crown on his head, sparkling, and the angels are singing, and you realize, I just missed my visit from Jesus. What now? What am I going to do? I just missed my visit with Jesus. Well, let's go back to the story. Remember, they didn't know who Jesus was. They thought he was just another. They actually thought he was a stranger that they really didn't pay any attention to the news and didn't know what was going on. They were going to put him up. Verse 30, when he was at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened. They recognized him, and he vanished from the sight. Just hold it right there a minute, Christy. He vanished from their sight. They saw him when the bread was broken, like we're going to do in a few minutes. They saw him when he blessed that bread and broke it. Did they think of that upper room? Had they heard about it? Were they even there? Or did they see him and did they think about the manna from heaven that fed their ancestors? Or when he broke the bread, did they think about his words, I am the bread of life? Or did they see him then because they had been willing to help a stranger? And now that stranger showed them Jesus? Guess what? We don't know exactly, but we know Jesus can come to us in each and every one of those acts as we reflect upon and read Scripture. We can see Jesus. As we talk with other people about the things of God, we can see Jesus. As we interact with one another, we can see Jesus. As we come to Sunday school or church, we see Jesus. As we give to others, we see Jesus. Verse 32 says, they said to themselves, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road? When was the last time your heart burned in you for Jesus? When was the last time you really got excited about wanting to come to church? Or wanting to learn more about Jesus, or go to your small group and get into that, dig into that thing deeper? Or go to your Sunday school and dig in deeper? When was the last time your heart burned? Or wanting to come and play music and sing praises because you love God that much? Their hearts were burning when he talked to them. And notice what it says. That same hour they got up to return to Jerusalem. Remember, they're already depressed and sad. You know what depression does? It zaps your strength. They've already walked 7 miles, and it wasn't a flat Florida 7 miles. It was up and down and rocky 7 miles. It's nighttime. It's dark. Guess what, Dan? They don't have streetlights on these roads. They don't even have a flashlight. All they've got probably is a candle or a lantern maybe. And they're going to get up and they're going to run back that 7 miles to Jerusalem so they can tell the disciples, let me tell you, we saw Jesus. I'll bet you they returned in half the time it took them to get there. But they went back. They did something. Because Jesus had appeared to them and they saw him, they had to do something. They found the 11, it says, and their companions together. And they were saying, the Lord has risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon. Now, I take that to mean Simon was the second guy. Cleopas was the first and Simon's the second guy. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. As we approach the table today, I want you to expect something. I want you to ask God for something. I want you to see him as we go through this act of communion. I want you to open your heart and allow him to interact with you the way he did with these two from Emmaus. With the words or the scripture or however, with the words from a song maybe, whatever, to let Jesus interact with us. And I'm going to pray that our hearts will burn within us and that we'll do things for his kingdom too. Our founder, John Wesley, said this about the act of taking Holy Communion. He says that if using the liturgy, and we're going to use the liturgy today, that using the liturgy within the Lord's Supper, it has everything in it that can lead a person to see Jesus and lead them into salvation. He thinks everything that's necessary for salvation, confession of sin, believing in the Lord, promising to live for him, is found in our liturgy of communion. And I agree. It is today in our act of coming to this table and breaking bread with one another that the angels of heaven and Jesus himself surround us and interact with us. So at this point, I invite you to take your connection card. Let's go through that before we begin our communion liturgy. Because of what we've talked about, what is your next step? Can you check this? Lord, open my eyes of faith, because many of us are blind like the people on the road to Emmaus were, and we need our eyes opened. So, Lord, open our eyes of faith. Or maybe we need to check this next one. Lord, open my mind to your ways, because they certainly didn't have their mind on Jesus. They were talking about other things. Or maybe we need to open our heart to love as Christ does, to love the least of these, to love those who may be considered unworthy, if you will. Maybe we need to check the one that says, Lord, open me to be more generous, because, well, let's just say, I'm not going to say we're stingy, but we're frugal anyway, okay? And sometimes we're very skeptical about people and the use of money. And hopefully we could all check the one that says, Lord, let me see and imitate you. So I invite you to check those and hold those as we go through our communion liturgy. It's found in your hymnal, I believe, on page 12, if you want to go to that. It's also on the screen. Remember, in the United Methodist Church, we have what we call an open table, meaning we actually believe that what God said about whosoever will can come is actually what he meant. You don't have to be a member of our congregation. You don't have to be a member of our denomination. You don't have to be a certain age or anything else. The only qualification is that we do ask that you be willing to repent of your sin and live a life that's worthy of his calling. So let us go through our communion liturgy. Christ our Lord invites to his table all those who love him, all those who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A moment of silent prayer. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. May the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Lord, it is right. It is a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you. Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, you formed us in your image. You breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away from you, when our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity. You made a covenant to be our sovereign God. You spoke to us through your prophets and the scriptures. And so, Lord, with your people on earth, as well as the company of heaven, we praise your name and we join the unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna are you, Lord. And blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And when the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, Lord, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts through Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves today in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and a living sacrifice. In union with Christ offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of the bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the whole world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ shall come in final victory, and we shall feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Let us recite the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because thine is the kingdom, the glory, forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, that we may be many, we are of one body. For we all partake of the one loaf. The bread which we break, it is a means of sharing the body of Christ. The body of Christ, broken for thee. And the cup over which we give thanks, it is a means of sharing in the outpoured blood of